Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12:05 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. And reforming it here today on the radio as we roll with the punches on talk and developments and whatever it is that comes up next. So we had that exit clip from Brian Kelly of CNBC about the stock market using Bitcoin as a hedge, as though it were digital gold. And we're just going to take a quick overview of some of the business news around here. I was telling Sabine before the show started that it was really hard to come up with stories of the week for the rundown. Usually there's three or four things that really stand out. And in this case, it was just a lot of little things in accumulation that stood out. So there was a lot of stuff in the business world, and I'm going to get this eventually to Overstock.com and the stock market, and maybe take us full circle. Liechtenstein Bank opens up cryptocurrency investment for clients. Nothing of great note there. It's just the fact that a bank in a country that is known for its banking is now moving into that field. Singapore weighs need for new rules to protect crypto investors. So another financial hub is gaining acceptance as they figure out how they're going to regulate it. ATM giant Cardtronics cites crypto as a business risk. No, they weren't talking about Bite Federal, although they should be. And they joined the other banking giants like Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, financial institutions like Goldman Sachs, and regional banks that we'll mention also shortly. Banking giants send $30 million in securities over distributed ledger technology. So Credit Suisse and ING, another major global financial banks, are using the blockchain. Louisiana officials probe staffers for Bitcoin mining. Yes, they're actually Attorney General is probing former staffers, I assume of his office, who were using government computers in Louisiana with all the great computing power of the state of Louisiana to mine the cryptocurrency. One thing that Sabine in that now notorious crypto chat group on WhatsApp that Augie is part of was talking about the Telegram ICO, which now I think has allegedly raised about $800 million in private placements, making it a huge ICO that hasn't even gone to the open market yet.
Have they confirmed it yet? Because the CEO has not.
I think there's been different statements made. Anyway, that's the number. But you have to watch out because there's now people spoofing ICO saying,
more than one.
Send us your crypto or whatever you have of value. We'll take it. And someday you'll wonder why you ever did that.
Going back to the whole Wild Wild West thing. You've got to be careful here.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we are.
So I went through those just headlines just to keep.
Where's the marshal when you needed him, man?
Oh, yeah. Who's the marshal?
At the SEC, because this is the story I was dog paddling to get to the full circle to the stock market. Overstock defends T0 ICO. SEC subpoenaed everyone else. Well, there was a widespread drop in the crypto market Wednesday or Thursday of this past week when the news came out that the SEC had subpoenaed and put out requests for information on multiple ICOs that have come out in the last couple years. The exact number is not known. It's been stated, I've seen news reports, anywhere from a couple dozen to hundreds. But one that would be big would be to Overstock, because they have the Medici investments as a venture capital blockchain for blockchain startups that they're funding as a subsidiary of Overstock, and Overstock's price has run up tremendously in the past year based on that. And they also have an ICO that is being done in private placement. They had said, we've talked about this before on the air, that it was going to be done in compliance with the SEC. That's why it's being a private placement, not being sold like an IPO, not to be confused with ICO, like an initial public offering with stocks. You know, we have underwriters, they distribute it to their clients. It's not being done that way or is an open ICO. So we had talked on previous shows about they were having difficulty accrediting the accredited
investors. So this is accredited investors only.
Yeah, they have to have a certain net worth, et cetera, like that. We
also had done a story previously, not on the blanket inquiry by the SEC, but something like that was coming. It had already come on this particular operation. So I saw on Thursday when this news broke, and all of a sudden Overstock's price dropped by almost 10%, I was like, well, I know I've talked about this, and hopefully our listeners out there, if they're watching it, knew they were talking about that. So I watched it until it looked like it had dropped, and at the end of the day, I bought options because I figured by the next day, people would realize, at least the more knowledgeable people would realize, those that listen to the Henry Rain Show, would know the stock would come back, because that fact that there was an inquiry had already been priced in as the stock's price had declined for that and other reasons over there. And luckily, that's the way it turned out. So anybody that, you know, had listened to the show and took advantage of it and decided to go in for options would have...
And you didn't call me.
Oh, there you go, Henry. Share, and share alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably should have put it on the crypto group. But, you know, Andy's there, and he's like...
You didn't call me either.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm intimidated by giving stock advice. And I don't give advice, actually. I should disclaim that. I don't give musings about the stock market.
Or sharing stock opinions is a different thing than giving
stock.
Not
their secret sandbox.
Yeah. But it would have been, do you have an account you trade equities in? Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not just a crypto girl.
But I tell you, I told my daughters, now, Carrie, I'm doing exactly what I said I don't do. To bring politics in. I told my daughters, and actually somebody else I know who's very much of my political persuasion, I said, boy, it's going to kill me not to vote for Trump's reelection at the next time around if he's running for reelection, because he's been the greatest boon to my trading. I mean, the market goes one way, and then it goes the other, and if you're trading options, that's what you need. You need movement. And so...
Yeah, it's sort of like somebody make what that sound thing lead in you get. It's like grinding in a toilet. That's kind of up and down and flush, and then up and down and flush. It's that grinding sound. You know?
Your intro.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can make money in the world when it's going down too. That's some of the time to make the best money. Actually, that was perfect for the segue, because we're coming up on a guest that's going to talk to us about algorithmic trading, not trading on intuition, as I was almost would have roped Sabine into, and then she would have been upset because then my intuition would have been wrong. And
the end of a real friendship.
One of the things that Sabine and I did have an exchange on the crypto exchange group was that Genesis Trading has launched its crypto lending service for investors. And at first glance, you might think this is for, you know, like sort of an AmScot of the Bitcoin world. That, you know, I just need a little Bitcoin to get me through till the next week in my paycheck. No, Genesis Global Capital will allow investors to borrow crypto in quantities of $100,000 or more. Genesis Global Trading Corporate, a big institutional market maker for digital currencies, has started to launch this business. This will be a subsidiary, Genesis Global Capital. Now, Genesis, I believe, is the crypto exchange that's also based in San Francisco. It's a U.S.-based exchange. I find it a little bit limiting because I think they only do Bitcoin and Ethereum. So, you know, the crowd I run with, they're into number 735th on the coin market cap list. But the new subsidiary will allow investors and businesses to borrow in quantities of 100,000. Loans will be issued. This is what is also sort of conflicting about what my assumption is, the Genesis crypto exchange in San Francisco, is that loans will be issued in Bitcoin, Ether, Ether Classic, Ripple, Bitcoin Cash, and the most surprising one to me, Zcash. And you know, the thing is, Zcash is coming up on a double fork here. You know, so you're going to get the free new fork currencies. You could borrow Zcash for the time the fork is supposed to hit,
and then you've got the
others into your wallet and pay them back in Zcash.
That's crazy. But do you get the private keys when you're loaning, lending, when you're borrowing like that?
I don't know. That's a good question. But I'm sure they've thought of more angles than I have on this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's not just to get you through until your next paycheck so you can take your wife out to dinner or your husband out to dinner. It's a great time to offer institutional-focused lending for financial institutions to participate in a two-sided market, increase working capital that they use to scale their digital business. So examples would be for companies that need to make immediate settlements to their customers but don't want to buy a large balance of Bitcoin and hold the risk on their books. It's already attracted notable clients such as Block Tower Capital, whose parent DV Chain is a crypto trading firm. Reminds me a lot, Augie, about what banks do with overnight lending to one another to settle accounts. Mm-hmm. And it strikes me as another example of the sophistication of the market and the evolution of the market and the maturing of the market, that someone's trying to fill this space where people like you and I really don't participate, but people at high level of financial institutions do.
Well, when you have money to burn and you don't want to lose the ashes in the process, you have...
You can't burn crypto.
Right, yeah. That may be an answer. This whole game is just that. And right now, the only one that I see that's a constant in this thing is Bitcoin itself.
I'm trying to figure this out. So if I borrow $100,000 in Bitcoin, do I get the private keys? And do I net the gains if it goes up and mm-hmm. take the losses if it goes down? How does that work?
Yeah.
Well, you would be at the risk for the up and down. I don't know if you get the private keys or not, but let's just say we have Kraken and Coinbase are both in San Francisco, and they're both doing these trades, and then one of them has a client that either needs a lot of Bitcoin or is selling a lot of Bitcoin. So there's this imbalance, and since both of these companies keep a lot of their inventory in cold storage, it may not be something that can be accessed quickly enough without all those disruptions. You know, when Coinbase goes down, everything's delayed. So on their books, if they know they can get $100,000 or $1 million from this source, maybe they recognize the trade that way and don't have to put everybody else on hold, you know, all the little people like us, to do the big client. In the banking world, and I'm not an expert on this, but you know, we talk about the Fed funds rate, and that's, I believe, is what the major banks charge each other for overnight lending. Is that correct, Donnie?
Right, it is. The overnight, the rate is like 1.5% between the banks. It's very small. And
when you take it out, that's not 1.5% a day. That's an annual rate.
Right,
so
on an annualized basis.
Very infinitesimal.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, we've come to the top of the hour. We need to tell you that you are listening to WWPR 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. And we'll be back on the other side with Steve Roberts from Uptick Software. And you're listening to the Henry Range Show.
You want
to
hear?
If you're a business owner, you need to start listening right now to find out how a few feet of empty floor space can turn into a steady stream of both money and new faces into your business. Hosting a Bipedal Bitcoin ATM gives you a leg up on your competition by giving your location a destination-oriented visitor that will come back time and time again. Frequent Bitcoin ATM customers become frequent shoppers in your storefront. To find out more, just call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E, or 877-855-2983, and you'll be talking to the same local business experts you've heard on the Henry Range Show. Or just go to bitefederal.com and fill out a simple form to begin hosting a Bitcoin ATM in your business. Don't wait. Start earning new revenue and seeing new customers right away. Call 877-855-BYTE, B-Y-T-E. That's 877-855-2983, or go to bitefederal.com.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to combing out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee.
the coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shops at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's. 3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Party cup of coffee waiting for you to come home.
Hey, this is Brian. I listen to every week. I really like it. Me and my wife, we just stop our cars every Saturday at 12 o'clock. Make sure we listen to the show. It's great. I'm learning a lot about these cryptocurrencies. Keep on listening.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Reminding you again, you can listen to us every Saturday at 12.05 p.m. till approximately 1.30 p.m. And check us out on demand on the podcast platform of your choice. The biggest archive is at henrymainshow.podomatic.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just Google the show and you will find what you're looking for, hopefully. Well, we seem to be on a trend here with our guests, and so Augie and I will carry on here. Sabine had to go up. She is going to make the block spaces and Blockspaces grand opening up in Tampa, and others of us that you hear on the show will be there in a little while, too. And so we'll go back into some of the news. I know that Augie had a story that he wanted to talk about, and you found this in the New York Times, and I have a link to it. I'll be bringing that up as you do that. What is on your mind there from the Thursday Times?
Well, this is what is a positive and negative. Communities have lost business in large measure, and companies that have existed all over the East and industrialized part of the country have walked, and so walking the dams that are sitting there, water flowing, are producing nothing. So Bitcoin currencies are being produced. The Bitcoin miners compete for the coins by submitting answers to difficult math problems. This is what they do. But as far as the communities go, they're going into such places as Plattsville, New York, and others. Let's see. I was not quite prepared for Henry to come to me on this thing.
They're talking to a Mr. Bowman there, and
right.
Says they're talking about the mayor's concern. He's the only employee of the company you're talking about.
Right.
And also, presently, a full-time medical student on the Caribbean island of Grenada.
Yeah, Bowman is from Plattsville, and he said he sympathized with the mayor's concerns about job losses. He's the only employee of his company, and he is presently a full-time medical student on the Caribbean island of Grenada. But Bitcoin mining paid his college tuition, and it's paying for medical schools. He doesn't see that Plattsville has better options. The place needs all the jobs they can get. And although his company employs no one beyond himself, he does pay fees to an investment-owned company that operates and maintains the machines and has one employee. So the maintenance of the machinery is a big deal, but I would say I wonder if he's also responsible for the maintenance of the hydroelectric dam there in Plattsville. I mean, that's probably a win-win if they do that, but this just like you're talking about the Connect Group, it's happening in closed down other businesses, forming other leases and maybe future growth of a new kind.
Mayor Plattsbury says that the city is guaranteed a fixed supply of cheap electricity as part of a agreement that goes back to the 1950s.
Right.
said he also, this mayor, Mr. Reed, said the Bitcoin consumes about 10% of the city's power, and that's forcing Plattsburgh to buy a growing amount of extra electricity on the open market at rates up to 100 times higher. Now, I don't really see the explanation, though, why they have to charge the consumer a lower rate, why they can't charge him a special rate. That's what many places are negotiating.
Well, it's better than nothing, and that's what they've got.
It sounds like he's able to. No, that's not what it says, because if they're having to buy energy to replace what they're selling to him, there seems to be like there should be a market solution there. It's just like here, the cost of energy makes mining in Florida prohibitive.
Right.
That's why if you listen to the very early part of the show, when we were talking about last week's guest, Joseph Gehrman, and how you can use him to set up a master node or a system node to mine different cryptocurrencies, which participants of this radio show are getting into, and I already have. When I asked him, well, where is it? Where is the mining going on? Is it up there in your office in Pinellas County? And no, it's going to be somewhere up in Canada. Now, I don't know where it currently is. It may be distributed, but it's going to be consolidated in Canada. And
well, as you say, they right now they've got a hydroelectric dam that supplies the community and could supply beyond what it has been supplying beyond the community, and Bitcoin is stepping in. GE in this one case, or General Motors, stepped away from this community and left them without jobs. And 150 people or whatever it was that were working there are no longer working there. And so the complaint is, well, they're paying us something. There is, what do they get in this situation? There's a real question. And how much does it value the community? And how many jobs does it produce? And the answer is not many jobs. The job production is what makes communities grow. And if you're coming up with something that pays some of the bills, but I'm not sure how they really pull this off, Henry.
Well, again, this mayor of Plattsburgh says he'd rather sell the power to companies that would employ a large number of people, but it doesn't sound like anybody wants to come there to take a part of that employee pool that they have in Plattsburgh.
Yeah, that's the problem when you shrink things down and everybody goes on the Internet and does their retail sales. There's no retail. Now the automation is kicking out jobs, wiping the jobs out throughout the country, and community after community is suffering job loss. And where do those people go? And, you know, I went to a meeting on Thursday, last Monday. I'm getting my days mixed. The complaint is, what are the people going to do for work? So whatever you say about the investing side of currencies and how you can speculate and make money, at some point where the workforce is growing that isn't working and going off the records and off the books, there's a real problem here, Henry. I think right now there's a demand for jobs, but it's all low-paid jobs.
Well, this is already being resolved in a lot of ways, and there's also other problems on the horizon that people want to point at this and the Bitcoin miners, but there is a blockchain issue that's going to have to be solved because the Internet of Things is going to require, in some cases, digital wallets. And there's going to be all this activity that's going to be happening in the world around us as blockchain. It becomes more and more permeated into the economic system. There's mining happening. But a lot of those solutions are already taking shape in forms other than proof of work that Bitcoin is based on. And I find some of this probably pretty disingenuous on the part of the New York Times, or at least they didn't have their understanding of the situation. Because the reason that there's such concentration of mining rigs, and for like Bitmain, which is the Chinese miner, is now a global miner, but it started there in the cheap electricity in the Himalayas from the hydroelectric power there. The Bitmain had greater either gross revenue or profits than NVIDIA Corporation, which makes the chips for these rigs and chips for artificial intelligence and other things. So they're actually generating either more revenue or profits. I don't have the actual figure in front of me right now, but it was a story in this past week. than the darling of NASDAQ, NVIDIA, which has had tremendous growth and has taken us back to the stock market. Anyway, but the way this works, for him as a single Bitcoin miner, if that's really what he's doing, and I have my doubts about this, or at least, or he's
it's a strange article.
He could very well be a miner.
Sure.
But if he's mining Bitcoin, I have my doubts, because the way that works. So picture you have these big concentrations of thousands of mining rigs, a.k.a. computers, that are running in these huge warehouses that take over football field kind of spaces. The way the mining reward works is there's a mathematical relationship to the concentration of computing power. So that's why so many of your back bedroom miners don't do Bitcoin anymore, no matter what the cost of electricity is, because the rewards are paid out at such a low percentage of the rewards compared to what the big miners. You don't just get it prorated. Like, I got my little teeny fraction of the hashing power, the computer power of the process, and they have this huge, giant prorated amount. No, it's a different kind of relationship. If you get such a small amount, you may not get any rewards. So that's why I have problems with one of the reasons I have problems. The other reason is that this is being addressed because as these new currencies come out, and we really don't know what some of the things that are trying to be currencies that pay. Litecoin has a certain ease of transaction. Some of these ones that are in our top five right now are not what are going to be used in the Internet of Things, which are basically going to be frictionless. We've talked about Stellar, which is a proof of stake, and actually that is what the nodes that Joseph was talking about last week with us were proof of stake as opposed to proof of work, and they don't have the draw on electrical power. So
the nodes, just since I missed this part of the meetup that you had with Joseph, what are the nodes?
Well, that's basically where the transactions are being processed, and I'm getting quickly outside my technical expertise of this. But we've heard in past shows, and I think you'll remember this, when Lee and Leonard, and especially Lee from Byte Federal, are good sponsors here, they talked, one of their first currencies that they handled in their ATMs were Dash. And they talked about the democratic process where the people had the master nodes of Dash, and how those people that were doing most of the mining made decisions for the community of Dash. And I said, well, that sounds like an oligarchy, not a democracy. And I'm sure that caught your memory cells there.
Well, the Dash does sponsor, there is sponsorship for Dash on 1220 out of Sarasota right now.
Well, that's probably on Free Talk Live.
Right.
It was allocated by the proposal process, where the proposal from Free Talk Live was presented to the Dash community of masternodes, not people that own Dash, not people that had a computer in their back bedroom trying to mine it. And now here's where you'll get the oligarchy part. So one thing, Dash is one of the things that Joseph can set you up with. But the amount of Dash you need is equal to a value of $600,000 to set up a masternode. Because the idea is, if you're willing to tie up that money, then your self-interest is not just in an immediate profit from the mining, but in the long-term sustainability of the currency and the best interest of that. So I guess it's supposed to be selfish altruism or something that will make people do decisions that are best in the long.
That's a large dollar for something of that speculation. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of the biggest markets. It's a multi-billion dollar market cap, so if you wanted to have any influence in voting in a trading company with a multi-billion dollar market cap, that's why I chose Crown, is because it was on an affordable basis to me and would be similar to like one investment I might make in the stock market.
In practical terms, Henry, you're investing in this, and you left your former employment with a pretty good solid income.
Yeah.
How are you replacing your income with his investments?
Not with this investment, but what it also has allowed me to do is, because what I found out very quickly before I ever made that decision was when I first got into the crypto back in May, when we first talked about it on this show, when we were a whole different direction of
right.
topics. I tried to do short-term trades, and I would think I was a genius because I made 20% in a day. And while I was going in and out, you know, the crypto would continue to run at rates of appreciation that I was not used to from anything I'd done in stocks or almost in options. Sometimes options you can get that. So it has opened up a lot of other things. So I have the long-term appreciation. I don't try and trade crypto really anymore. I mean, something could motivate me to do it, but I just have a portfolio of crypto that I'm just letting set. And believe me, there were many times on the way down from Bitcoin at 20,000 to 6,000, I was like, I should cash out. But I'd already been through so many ups and downs on the way, these 50% swings in the blink of an eye. I was like, well, in for a dime, in for a dollar, in for a penny,
right,
in for a pound,
right,
whatever this
right.
thing is. So it looks like it's working out all right, and it's now Bitcoin is coming back in a much more constructive way when you look at the chart with these stair steps where it trades in a narrow range, much more similar to a buy-and-hold kind of stock, at least in the compressed time frame of Bitcoin. So you asked this question, and now I've got to give an honest answer about the whole thing. But this has also opened up other ways of making income. So not that the radio is a cash cow for me, but it's much easier to get sponsors for a specific targeted show like this than it was to do a progressive political talk show
right.
for all those years.
Sure.
It allows me to meet people like Joseph who can allow me to do something that diversifies. The return on a Crown system node right now is 20-something percent. That's nothing compared to crypto. It's nothing compared to options. But for a part of my income, having something that returns 20% is a lot better than your 2% savings account. Is it even 2% in the savings account?
No, it's not that much. No.
Yeah. So we have that. We have these things like TradeBank.com that's now approached me, and I guess I can say that I'm assigned a retainer as an advisor for them. So it's opening up other options, and I think as you see us develop a hub down in Bradenton, I think there's a lot of things that are on the horizon. And then in the short term, thanks to President Trump, our tremendous president, probably the best, I can absolutely say, the best president for my options trading in the history of the world, or in the history of Henry Raines.
The Henry Raines world.
I have actually... combination of the knowledge from some of the things in this show and the musings of President Trump, I've been able to replace almost all my income
from before.
Yes, with
equal
in the options market and the stock market.
Wow,
and
that's impressive.
And
on an average monthly,
I don't
monthly...
have to pay the Social Security taxes.
Wow, that's pretty good. Well, that's a.
I don't know if it'll keep going that way, but so far so good.
Well, you're
we have a small sample size of my life to find out.
Well, right now there's a big push for Trump to give up on the Canadian thing, and even
the tariffs. You mean
on the tariffs? Because and the party is going at him tooth and tong. He's you know, the man is a real Olympic backflipper. So he's setting up the situation that probably will help you even more so, because if he pulls down off of that thing, what do you think the market's going to do on the tariffs? Let's say he says, well,
you know, it doesn't really matter what I think, because I hedge either way.
Let's say he does. And what do you think it will happen, and what will you do if it happens that way?
Well, I'm already positioned for it. I have calls on the Dow, and I have puts on the Dow. I have them staggered a little bit on their execution time, and you know, if the market moves, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. If it doesn't move, then I'll have a little bit of.
But this is the stock
loss,
market.
But with the options, you're getting like, like the we talked about Overstock earlier in the show. Now, that was just a simple, deep-in-the-money call option that generated a 30% return overnight. Now, that was one of the smaller returns. The JD.com, which is active in blockchain, it's Alibaba's competition, was coming out with earnings. Now, it sounded like I'm touting myself. And don't take any of these. I'm just answering Augie's question. Don't take this as advice. I've been following that stock because I knew they were getting into blockchain. I got following them because of the stories that we do here and having to research that. I knew they were coming up on earnings. I looked back at how volatile that stock was, and I bought calls and puts short-term for just after the earnings report. And the call, it was a negative earnings report. The call went to almost nothing. The put pretty much doubled, and it was a 50% return overnight.
Wow.
So I can't quite be the Alex Solis of all this with his returns, but I do what I know.
Henry,
I think I know.
If you watch the stock shows, these kind of questions go to the various panelists all the time, and they answer it pretty much in the manner you're doing. So this is not giving advice. This is what the stock holders who are on these talking heads on CNBC and others actually say my experience is, and that's what you're talking about. You're not advising people what to do. You're just saying what your experience was, right? Is that true? Yeah, that's all. So what I think maybe the interviews within the show should go to what you do, what Andy does, what Alex does. It's not a bad way to go. And you're doing that, but you're giving people some idea about how it functions. And I think that's a valid thing. So
It's an evolutionary process. Speaking of being successful, we want to thank our new sponsor, Alcover Massage. I need to get her in. Her spot is here before we have to sign off. You're listening to The Henry Raine Show.
A new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage. Quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
I'm on the surface of the destroyed barbarian planet now, Captain.
Destroyed? What do you see, Mr. Spock?
The surviving inhabitants are in a dreadful condition. It seems they can't control their limbs, and their minds are dull and useless. Fascinating. They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century Earth disease called hard drug abuse. I suspect it has destroyed all meaningful life on this wretched planet.
A tragic find, Mr. Spock.
As a Vulcan, I find the need for hard drugs to be totally illogical.
But as a half-human, Spock, surely you can appreciate the suffering that hard drug abuse causes. We can only hope that other civilizations will not make the same mistake.
Wrapping up the Henry Rain Show here this Saturday at WWPR, 1490 AM, getting ready to head up to the Blockspaces Grand Opening in Tampa. If you want to find out more about that, go to blockspaces.io. Gabe, who was scheduled to speak to us at 12:30, not too surprisingly, texted that he was overwhelmed there. And, of course, Gabe and Rosa Shores, Gabe Higgins, Rosa Shores, are the principals that started that. And I really had a feeling, Augie, that when push came to shove and all the things that must have been going on at a grand opening of that magnitude with all the guests, and I don't know if you looked on the rundown, their schedule of events and all, that he was going to be able to get to pull himself away and leave Rosa manning or womaning the fort for that whole time.
She's loyal, but, you know, there is a limit.
Yeah. Well, may not be a limit to the loyalty, but tolerance. You slepping off when I got work to do. I don't know about that. So we look forward to, I look forward to seeing them and some of the rest of the crew up there in just a few minutes. And, again, I hope to see Bernie from Connect Bradenton. He was excited to see how they do things on that side of the bay, and he's looking forward. As I said, March 24th will be our first Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup at Connect Bradenton. They have a lot more audio-visual things that we're going to be able to do there. Looking forward to that. And, of course, we thank Mocha Joe's for hosting us for all that other time, but they have paying customers that they have to think about. And we'll be adding a specific blockchain business and development meetup come April, Wednesday afternoons, either the second, third week of April at Connect Bradenton to allow business people to get involved with blockchain or to find out more about it and see what opportunities are there. And so, Augie, what... You got places to go after this, so you can't go up to the block spaces?
I've got a guy that's doing work for me, and I've got to take care of some things with my property.
Are we going to be able to hear you calling in, even if you don't have a pre-conversation, with Phil Dan at the morning show here now between 7 and 9 a.m. Monday through Friday?
7 and 9 a.m. I'll give it a shot.
Ah. And maybe the second hour more likely than the
first?
Yeah,
I'll talk about the inherited economy of Obama. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can... Tune in every day until
that is a way of lighting a fire under these Trumpites.
Yes. Well, we will get more of Augie next week with new intro music, and we will be back here at WWPR with Bernie from Connect Bradenton and maybe much more. Full panel, I believe, also at the time next week, and we'll see you then.
Love, y'all. Killing people, dying children.